We're at Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Ephesians 4, verse 32, and chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we study Ephesians, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this book. It's full of so many truths that we can apply to our own lives as believers. And we do thank you for your word that is the word that we are to live by every day. And I thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time we were in the book of Ephesians, we've been going through Ephesians. The last time was in May. And we looked at chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. And the theme of these verses that God has given us are the ways we are to live to please the Holy Spirit. Verse 30 of chapter 4 tells us we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. To grieve means to offend or to displease. Each one of us who has been born again through faith in Christ has the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. He has sealed us with the Spirit as an adopted child of God until the day we're taken up to heaven. And in starting in verses 25, God has given us some important truths regarding our conduct so we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's pretty evident and straightforward. First of all, verse 25 says we're to tell the truth. We're to put away lying from us and always tell the truth, not only to one another, but to our neighbors. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And secondly, in verse 26 and 27 says, we're not to stay angry at somebody. If another person has done something that angers you, it's vitally important that you do not sin. For instance, you don't do something to that person out of spite to get revenge. And we all know about road rage, and you don't do that. You might get angry, but you don't try to get even. And also, any anger you have must be dealt with before you go to bed. Ephesians 4, 26 and 7. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And the third place, we're to do an honest day work. We're not to be tempted to steal from our employer or our customers. We must not forget also to use some of the money we earn to help those in need. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then fourthly, verse 29 says, we're to speak words to others that uplift them and build them up. That's what edify means, as it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I'm sure no one here likes to be criticized, or spoken of, spoken to in a negative way. See, we're not to tear each other down, right? We're not to say words that tear people down. We're to speak with kind words, encouraging words to one another. Even when we must deal with somebody who's committed a sin or an offense against you, we have to do it in a way that edifies them and encourages them. So this brings us to our text this morning. And we see in this text that there's a way we're called to behave ourselves. And this is the way we must walk every day. And we're told this in verse 1 of chapter 5, that we're to be a followers of God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, being a follower of God. To be a follower of God means to imitate him and behave the same way he does. Notice the verse says, as dear children. You see, he's adopted each one of us who has placed their faith in Christ. We've been born again, right? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1:12. As an adopted child of God, should we not want to please our Heavenly Father? Shouldn't we want to imitate him and be like him? And notice the verse calls us dear children. That's an affectionate word, dear. The word dear means highly valued and precious. I'm sure as a parent, you would refer to your children as my dear children. You might not say that to them all the time, but that's what's in your heart, right? They're precious to you. At least I hope they are. Oh, I'm sure they are. But we're precious to God. So our desire should be to follow him and to imitate him and not follow the ways of the world. You see, the world, as we know, the world is living in darkness. There's no hope. There's no future in the world. But we, as children of God, we're children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor are of darkness. God is light. He is very easy to follow. There's no darkness in God. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So as a follower of God, as one of his dear children, there are some ways we're to behave that imitate God and that these verses that I read tell us. The first is we're to be kind one to another, kind to each other. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another. God our Father is kind to us, is he not? In fact, God is kind to everyone on earth. And that's hard to believe sometimes when we see what's going on in the world. But Jesus says in Luke 6:35, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. You know, when God told Noah he was going to destroy all of mankind with a flood, a worldwide flood, every living thing was going to be destroyed, he gave man 120 years to repent. He didn't just say, Noah, I'm going to destroy people in, you know, a week Saturday. It's 120 years. Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. God is kind. He gave them all kinds of opportunities to repent. And of course, he is kind to the evil and the unthankful today. He sent his son Jesus to earth to save us because God is kind. He has a kind heart. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. That's Titus 3:4. We are to have kind hearts towards one another. Many in the world are uncaring, are cold to those they don't like. They have a mean spirit within them that wishes them harm and misfortune on their enemies. I'm sure you've read about what's going on with the hatred that the Muslims and Arabs have for the Jews, and there's protests going on in England right now where people are attacking protesters with knives. They're stabbing them. Like, it's just, there's hatred everywhere. But it's cold hearts. When King David and his men were in need of food while near the city of Carmel, David heard of a wealthy man, a wealthy farmer named Nabal. So he sent 10 young men to go ask Nabal for some food to feed his men. But Nabal wasn't kind because he had a cold heart. He said to the men in 1 Samuel 25:11, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know whence not whence they be?" He said, "You think I'm not going to send you anything. I'm not going to give you anything. I'm not interested. Go away." We must never allow ourselves to have cold hearts and to be unkind. Kindness for one another is a sign of godliness. And kindness for one another leads to charity. We're told that in 2 Peter 1:7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. We're to be kind one to another. And secondly, as we follow God, we are to be tender-hearted to one another. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. God our Father has a tender heart. Having a tender heart goes with being kind. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." God is merciful to us because he has a tender heart. That's why he sent his son to save us. Before Jesus was even conceived, the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, prophesied that Jesus would visit us because of the tender mercy of God. Luke 1:78, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." We must always keep in mind that we don't just have God's mercy, we have his tender mercy. And we must have tender hearts towards each other. There's no place for a hard heart, for instance, in our church or in any church. Hard hearts in churches suck the life out of any congregation as people become cold and unkind towards one another. And a church ends up becoming a place full of uncaring people. If our hearts are not tender, then we aren't followers of God. We must be tender-hearted towards each other. And thirdly, to follow God, we are to be forgiving to one another. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. As the verse says, God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. He's forgiven us on account of his Son, Jesus Christ, taking our sins upon himself and dying on the cross in our place. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God our Father has forgiven us for past sins. He's forgiven us for sins that we might have committed today, and he's forgiven us for future sins that we probably and most certainly will commit. His forgiveness is an eternal forgiveness. It's a permanent forgiveness. We've been washed clean by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We've been sanctified, which means we've been set apart. We've been made holy. We've been justified. It means we've been pardoned from all iniquity, from all sin and all trespasses. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, "And such were some of you." That's talking about how we were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. He's talking about all the sins that the unsaved man commits. Covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And as a follower of God, we have a responsibility to each other. We must forgive one another in the same way God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. We must forgive those who trespass against us, right? That's what the Lord's Prayer says. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's Matthew 6:12. There's much written in the Bible about forgiveness, because forgiveness is an essential indication that one is truly born again. Jesus continues in Matthew 6:14 and 15. He says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So how many times are we to forgive someone who sins against us? Well, Peter asked that question. And he said in Matthew, he asked in Matthew 18:21, he asked Jesus, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Like, Peter wanted to know, well, what's the limit? How far do you go? And Jesus said, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's 490 times. The point is, you just keep forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. We're never to stop forgiving one another, just as God will never stop forgiving us. We, you know, telling lies, for instance. Can you imagine if you could tell 152 lies and then after that, it's too bad, you're not going to heaven because you told 153. Like, that's, and you know, lying is, it's something that it's easy to do, as simple as, well, we can't go out for dinner tonight to your place because we got an aunt coming to see us. Well, it's not true, but you don't want to go out for dinner. You just want to stay home and relax. Little simple things like that. Or how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I don't have any problems. How many times do you say that things are fine when they're not fine? You got problems or there's an issue and you're upset. But you see, we must forgive one another always. We must have forgiving hearts. We're to be kind to one another. We're to be tender-hearted to one another. And there's one more thing we're called to do as we follow God, and this, I believe, is very important, is we are to walk in love. As Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love. To walk in love means it's to be a part of our makeup. Every day, to walk in love shows that we truly are a born again. In Titus, we're told that before God saved us, we were sometimes hateful, and sometimes we hated others. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But all that changed because the love of God has been shed in our hearts by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God's love is a perfect love. He didn't become the God of love. Some people say God wasn't a loving God in the Old Testament. Well, that's not true. God is love. There's no beginning to love with God. His love has no beginning and has no end. And God loves each one of us. And he's shown that love by sending his son to die on the cross for you and for me. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have the love of God in us, and we continue to dwell in his love. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So with the love of God in us, we are to love others. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's 1 John 4:11. Love for God and love for our neighbor are the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave us. They fulfill the law. And that's what we're told in the Bible. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We're told in Romans 13 that when we love our neighbor, truly love our neighbor, we won't do anything to cause them harm. In other words, we won't break God's moral laws against them. As Romans 13:9-10 says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You see how that works? When you love your neighbor, you're not going to do any of the, you're not going to break any of the moral laws. When we follow God and walk in his love, we love others as Christ loved us. And that's what Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. There's no greater love that we will receive than the love that Jesus gave us when he went to the cross in our place and gave his life for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's John 15:13. You know, his love was so great that he just offered himself in our place to take the punishment each one of us has deserved as payment for our sin. He made the ultimate sacrifice that no one could have done to redeem us from death and hell. Christ loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. When the Leviticus priests made a sacrifice to the Lord, they would burn it on the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord. And this burnt offering was a sweet savor to the Lord. And a sweet savor to the Lord means it was an acceptable offering to him. Leviticus 1:13, it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Jesus was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord because the sacrifice of his life for our sin was an acceptable offering. In fact, it was the only offering and sacrifice that God would accept for the sins of mankind. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's Hebrews 10:12. So as we follow God our Father and walk in love, we are to be like Christ. That's what Jesus, he said in Luke 9:23 and 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You see, our life on earth isn't to be spent just looking after ourselves and providing ourselves. We have to provide for ourselves, but it's not all about just material wealth and pleasures. Our life is to be offered to the Lord in service to him in whatever way he directs us and leads us. In fact, we're told in 1 John, which is quite a verse, that we're to even lay down our lives for fellow believers. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's 1 John 3:16. It means we're to put aside our own comforts and be willing to endure hardships, maybe even, to help fellow believers who are in need. You know, it might be putting off buying something that you'd like to buy because somebody you know needs financial help. It might mean not going away on a vacation because a Christian friend needs support or they need assistance. We're to offer ourselves a sacrifice to God when we are called to do so. That's what walking in love requires of us. We cannot expect to call ourselves loving Christians who are following God when we are unwilling to give ourselves to other believers in need. Whether it's our time or maybe our finances or our things, we must be willing to put needs of others ahead of ourselves and ahead of our own comforts, should that time come. So as we close this morning, I urge you to take stock of your heart. Are you truly a follower of God? As God's adopted child, are you thinking and behaving in ways that are good and acceptable to the Lord? Romans 12:1-2, I like these verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As a follower of God, are you kind to others? Are you tender-hearted and forgiving to fellow believers? And very importantly, are you walking in love? Not superficial love of words, but a sacrificial love where you put other needs ahead of your own when the time comes. So often I have failed to follow God. I allow my selfish desires of the flesh to rule my heart, and I turn from following my heavenly Father to satisfy my own lusts. But this must not be. I must follow God faithfully, and you all must follow God faithfully. We must be faithful followers of God. You know, when I think of our Savior, who resided in glory from eternity past, he left that place of glory to become a man of no reputation. We know he was born in a manger to poor parents, and he became a servant to all of mankind, without a home, without wealth, without status. He gave it all up for you, and he gave it all up for me, because he loved us. He came and set us free from the darkness of death and hell. to be translated into his Father's glorious eternal kingdom of light. You know, when you think of what Christ did for us, it's a small price for us to pay by denying our desires of the flesh and be a follower of God. It's a small price to pay to deny our flesh and walk in sacrificial life, just as Jesus did and loved us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I know, Lord, we are just blood-washed sinners, and we've been saved because you gave us that gift of salvation. We just are living under your grace. And Lord, we thank you. We're just imperfect people, Lord. And I do thank you that we can use your word to encourage us and direct us and instruct us in how we are to live while we're here on earth. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would continue to grow closer to you as we serve you and worship you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.